So we're going to begin. Are you ready, Bonnie? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for another day of life, another day in which we can be used by you, another day to learn a little bit more about you, to grow in our relationship, to learn to love you more. Father, I do just ask your blessing upon our time tonight. May it indeed be glorifying to you and beneficial to us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to introduce our topic tonight with a passage of Scripture. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, and I still see some people turn, so I'll wait. Verses 3 and 4. It says, and this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may put up with it. Now, while this issue that Paul is addressing here, he's addressing to a body of believers so that they won't be deceived and wander from the truth, okay? Know that this is also a tactic. This is also a tactic of the devil in keeping unbelievers from the truth of Jesus Christ. And he does it, the tactic really is, he offers another Jesus. Another Jesus, a counterfeit Jesus with a counterfeit message, a Jesus that is different from the Jesus that we read about in God's Word. So our subject tonight is another Jesus. That's what we're going to be talking about. And what it is really is a classic case of deliberate misdirection. That's what the devil is doing here with another Jesus. He's having something that looks like the Jesus of the Bible in a number of ways and directs people over here so that they don't find the real Jesus of the Bible. Misdirection actually is a primary tool of magicians. Magicians use misdirection to misguide their audience, to make their audience look someplace so that the magician can be doing something over here that they don't know about, okay? With the audience and magicians, typically, if the typical audience is like me, they're looking for the truth, okay? They're trying to see what's really going on there. So they will deliberately, the magician will direct their attention elsewhere so that they don't find the truth of the matter. And I have a short video that kind of introduces what we're going to look at, or I should say misdirection. It's a trick from illusionist Penn and Teller. And while they are normally rather offensive, I did find this video that is very clean and illustrates misdirection wonderfully. In fact, better than I've ever seen before. Anyway, go ahead and play that video, Ron.
We did a series of television shows where we saw magic all over the world. Went to Egypt, China, and India. And every magician we saw had a version of the cups and balls. And the trick all around the world didn't change very much, but the props did. And in China, they had these metal cups handed down generation to generation. In India, they had these hand-carved wooden cups. But we used plastic cups because we were representing the United States of America. So these are the plastic we used. We also used for balls, we used tinfoil balls. So we have the totally American, totally disposable cups and balls. Goes like this. This is the way it's done everywhere. Take the ball, we place it in our hand, we vanish it, and it appears underneath the cup. And that's the way it's done all around the world. Just take the ball, we place it in our hand, we vanish it, and it appears underneath the cup. Here's a little variation Taylor came up with, where he takes the ball, places it in his hand, then shows you underneath the cup, yet it still appears underneath the cup. Now, if I did the center ball, place it visibly in the center cup, then do side balls, put them anywhere we want, they still reappear in the center cup. We've already seen a little juggling here, but there's a little more of it. Then a giant ball in the center cup, one more giant ball on either side, and of course, for the finish, it's a baseball, as American as you can get.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's pen, it's
toast. Oh, not done finished. Yet.
That was good enough for me.
That's the standard version of the cups and balls.
Wow.
After we did that for a while, we wanted to kind of zoom in and do a Penn and Teller version of the cups and balls, which involves breaking a few rules of magic. Now, the first rule of magic is you never do the same trick twice. You had the sense of that right away. You're going to get us out of there.
Yeah.
Don't do it again. We're going to do it again. Second rule is you never tell an audience how a trick is being done. So I'm going to tell you exactly how the trick is being done. The third rule of magic is you never let the audience see your secret preparation. They must not know what is hidden in which pocket. And the fourth rule of magic is unwritten, but I think any magician in the world would agree with us in a second, that you never, ever do the cups and balls with clear plastic cups. This is the Penn and Teller version of the cups and balls. We take the first ball, pretend to place it in our hand, having already snuck underneath the first cup. Do the second ball, simultaneously secreted beneath the cup, pretend to place it in our hand, and show it. Take the third and final ball, pretend to place it in our hand, pretend to shoot it at the cup, place it at the cup, and then secretly secrete it and reveal it. Now we're all set for the second half, the cup's all loaded, three balls on top. The center ball, place the center cup. Each of the side balls, really put them away, we don't need them more. We have three duplicates in the center cup. With these three balls, come over here. This is not juggling. This is called misdirection. For I look over here, tell us the final ball under, one more on either side, and of course for the finish, it's an American baseball. The baseball.
That's
the finish.
Ten, nine.
They even show you what they're doing, and you're still misdirected, right? That is the art of misdirection. I mean, he can even right in front of your nose do it, and we miss it. And that really is not only crafty, but that's exactly what the devil does as well. Misdirection is a primary tool of the devil, and he uses it to deceive people. People are looking for truth. They are. They're not typically seeking God, but they're looking for truth, okay? And the devil will deliberately direct their attention to what they think is true, and while the truth of the matter is something entirely different. The devil will even allow people to think that they have found Jesus when, in fact, the Jesus they found is not the true Jesus of the Bible. Again, a classic case of deliberate misdirection, because people by nature will look for truth everywhere but in God. And the devil is right there to lead them astray. So what is the doctrine? Here it is. Here is what the devil will teach and say through this other Jesus. And here's basically the teaching. Here's the real story about Jesus. I know what you've heard or you think you've heard from the Bible, but here is the real story of Jesus. And it purports then to tell the real story or the rest of the story about who Jesus is, what he really taught, and what he really accomplished. They might say, perhaps you've heard something from the Bible, but here's what really happened. Here is what really happened. Here's the real story of Jesus. And it does. It teaches a different Jesus from what we read about in the Scriptures. And just because we're going to talk about the allure here in a few minutes and why people buy into these false ideas about another Jesus, but just because the name of Jesus is used does not mean it is the Jesus of the Bible. Okay?
How do we know?
Okay, that's a good question. We're going to talk about that exactly. We're going to talk about that exactly before we end here. But just as an example, there are a lot of Craigs in the world. In fact, there are two of them in the room tonight. I met another Craig right back here, okay? There are a lot of Craigs in the world, okay? But I am the only one, okay? So if we're talking about Craig, that may or may not be me, okay? But if we're going to talk about me, all right, while there are lots of Craigs in the world, I'm the only one who has the last name of Jansen and who is the son of Herb from Leeds, Utah. I'm the only one that is 51 years old, married to Janine, lives in Mesquite, Nevada, and is currently the pastor of River Valley Bible Church, all right? So just because the name Craig is being used, it doesn't mean it's talking about me. And just because the name Jesus is being used, we have to understand it doesn't mean that we're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. Here's how the devil might deceive people about Jesus, and here's how he might change the story. And these are doctrines that are out in the world. These are other Jesuses that do not match the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? Some teach, or the devil teaches, that Jesus is one of many gods. All right? There are lots and lots of God, and Jesus is just one of them. That is a doctrine that is out there in the world. Another one is Jesus was an angel. He was special. He was powerful. He was even a redeemer, but he was just an angel. Another one is Jesus was just a great teacher. Perhaps the greatest teacher that ever lived. He lived what he taught, he taught what he lived, but he was just a great teacher. These are all other Jesuses, all right? Another one is he was just a good man, a great man, a prophet, but just a man. Another one is, this is a teaching of another Jesus. There's another Jesus out there that didn't claim to be God, okay? He just talked about his unity with God. These are all ways that the devil puts other Jesuses out there. And because the name Jesus is used, people think he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible. But that what we've described here is not the Jesus of the Bible. All right? And we're going to talk about, well, as we get to the truth of the matter, we're going to see that the Jesus of the Bible is very different from the Jesuses that I just listed above. I won't have you turn there, but if you're still in 2 Corinthians, we're gonna move on from there in a minute, but keep a marker in 2 Corinthians 11, because we're going to come back to that again, and I don't need you to turn any place yet. For some reason I have in my notes that you need to, and I don't even have a scripture verse listed. It just says, turn your Bibles to somewhere, but anyway, all right. First thing we need to understand, though, again, is this doctrine teaches a different Jesus. But along with that, if we're talking about a different Jesus, know that then we are teaching, or it is teaching, a different gospel. It's teaching a different gospel, okay? Other gospels will claim that the gospel accounts that we have in the Bible are inaccurate, all right? The Bible, they will say, has been passed through so many generations. It's been changed so much, and today now man has to decipher what is accurate and what is inaccurate. So along with this teaching of another Jesus comes the teaching of another gospel, and they'll say, well, here's the real gospel. You can't believe what you find here in the Bible because it's been changed. They will also say some some of the teachings will say that the Bible account is incomplete. All right? It isn't the whole story. There's more to it. There are other gospel accounts, other inspired writings, other historical evidence that completes the story. And as we get to the truth of the matter, we're going to see that the gospel of the Bible is indeed accurate and complete, and we will see why. Thirdly, this false doctrine, not only does it teach a different Jesus, not only does it teach a different gospel, but it also teaches a different salvation. Again, anything to divert from the truth. It might teach salvation is universal. And Lord willing, that's actually what we're going to look at next week. We're going to look at universalism next week and kind of delve in depth into that topic. But some, they teach a different salvation. They say it's universal. Because Jesus died for the sins of the world, the whole world by nature is saved, they say. It's automatic. You don't have to do anything. Keeps them very comfortable. Another one is salvation must be earned, and we actually looked at that one last week as we looked at religion. They will say you have to do good works in order to eternally live in the presence of God. We need to be good to get to heaven. So it's a completely different salvation. And I'm just going to add, we talked about religion last week. But I want something that I didn't mention, at least I don't think I did, but I'll mention it now, is that point of earning salvation is probably the major difference that will be found between Christendom and Christianity. The two, while they have similar names, are very, very different. Christendom includes every religion that has Christ, the name of Christ, at its center. But it strives typically to be like him so to earn heaven. All right? That's Christendom. And any religion that has the name of Christ at its center, he's there in name, okay? But then they try to earn salvation. That's Christendom. Christianity has Christ at its center, but it's our relationship with him that makes us Christians. It's our relationship with him that gives us heaven for free. Another variation of this different salvation is this. Salvation, many of these teachings will say, isn't even the point. All right, has nothing to do with the afterlife. The real point is just follow Jesus' example in living your life and live the best life that you can now. And as we get to the truth of the matter, we're going to see that salvation, the salvation described in the Bible is very different from what we're talking about in this false teaching. All right? So this doctrine may teach another Jesus, it may teach another gospel, it may teach another salvation, and then fourthly, this doctrine teaches a different spirit. A different spirit. Rather than trusting in the fact and truth of what God says concerning Jesus and the salvation he offers, this other teaching, this other Jesus will say, you will know the truth by feeling, by emotion. That's how you'll be able to discern, okay? It will just seem right. It will just feel right, okay? And it's by emotion, by feeling, they say, you will know the truth. Or they might say, you will know it by experience, maybe even a supernatural experience or an experience that appears to confirm what you've just been taught. But rather than trusting in the spirit of fact and truth from God's word, from what God says, emotion and experience will be emphasized in this teaching of another Jesus. And that is a different story, again, from what God really says. And again, as we get to the truth of the matter, We're going to see that simply trusting the truth of God's word through Jesus Christ, that is what it's all about. If you're still in 2 Corinthians, look at chapter 11, verse 3 again. He says, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity. And I want to key in on that word. I think some translations say sincerity or simplicity and purity, okay? But it boils down to the simplicity. That's what we're talking about here. The simplicity that is in Christ. The simplicity of the gospel message. He says, I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. The doctrine of another Jesus is, again, it's a classic case of deliberate misdirection. Here's the real story of Jesus. Not long ago, author Dan Brown revitalized a movement that spoke of gospel, spoke of the Bible Gospels as inaccurate, and he did it through his book called The Da Vinci Code. Okay, and Lord willing, we're going to actually, in about two more weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about Gnosticism. Okay, and that's really what the Da Vinci Code is based on. But through this book and the incorporating of some extracurricular writings, he painted a picture of Jesus that is completely inconsistent with what God says about him. It was another Jesus entirely. And thankfully, there were so many holes in his reasoning that the movement was somewhat short-lived. However, there is an abundance of teachings in the world that purport to be Christian teachings, but prove to be another Jesus. They proclaim who Jesus is, and it doesn't even resemble the Jesus of the Bible. Misdirection. As you think about what we've talked about here, what do you suppose might be the allure? Why are people so easily deceived by another Jesus, do you think? Self-centered, okay, in what respect? What?
It makes you feel good.
Okay. Okay, and that kind of hinges back to what we looked at last week, huh? Religion and working our way to heaven. Elaine?
They really aren't grounded in the Word. They don't know what they believe, not really.
Right.
And so they're easily led astray.
Okay, okay. They don't know what the truth is. Right, for sure. Yes, remind me your name?
Diane,
okay.
Well, they don't have to admit their own sin.
Okay, all right. It goes back to what we talked about last week as well, religion and the lack of accountability. All right. Anything else come to mind about what in it, another Jesus in particular? What? Why does that carry power, do you think? Christy?
You feel privileged to know something that, I don't know, other people don't know. It's kind of special. Like,
okay.
You know.
Okay. Special. I've got the rest of the story.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Ron?
Another Jesus that is not founded within the Bible can be twisted to however you want him to be. So,
yeah. It's a fictitious story.
If my Jesus believes homosexuality is okay, then that's cool.
Yep.
You know? So
that's all right.
Able to twist it to fit their needs.
I mean, if we're running with our imagination and fiction, we can do whatever we want with him. Any other thoughts? Mark?
I can't really describe it, but I believed all that stuff before I was a believer that you mentioned. You know, just thought I was a good guy, a good teacher. He just wanted many gods.
Okay.
All paths lead to heaven, those types of things. So.
Okay. All right.
If the devil can get you to believe in the wrong Jesus, it's a lot harder to come to the true Jesus.
Okay, yeah.
It's kind of like how he twists hell, the picture of hell. You know, so many people believe that hell is just a fun place to hang out with your Jesus.
Right, right.
And it's not, but, you know, we twist who Jesus is, and it's a lot harder to come to the truth of Jesus if you've already got a distorted version of
that's right. More palatable. Just like we want a more palatable hell, we can make a more palatable Jesus.
And just building on what you said right there, the simplicity.
Yeah.
And the truth. And he's going to attack us.
Yep.
Constantly.
Yep.
With that. Well, it's just simple. All you have to do is go my way.
Yeah. When in actuality, the real gospel is the simplest one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Any other thoughts? All good answers. I had three things that I came up with that could attract people to another Jesus. The first one, think about this. Can you think of a better name for the devil to use to start a false religion? The name of Jesus has power, doesn't it? I mean, it has incredible power. It comes with a lot of clout. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Keep a marker in 2 Corinthians, because we're going to come back to here to this one in the end. But Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And this is a statement of truth, okay? This is Luke talking about this, but recording it anyway. And he says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." It was Peter actually saying it. Luke recorded it, and he's actually preaching here, and he's saying that there is no other name in the world by which a person can be saved. Jesus. So why wouldn't Satan take that name and abuse it to start? Use that name to start other religions. So simply, the name Jesus, it has clout. It has power. People, when they hear it, they're attracted to it, I think. Okay? And what better name to use? And Satan will use it in name only to counterfeit and to deceive. I'll just share this, and I have nothing to go on here. Nothing at all. This is complete and utter speculation, all right? Just want to make that clear. It would not surprise me. It would not surprise me at all if the Antichrist of the book of Revelation will have a variation of the name Jesus. It wouldn't surprise me at all, because that name comes with power. But anyone who does not discern the Jesus of the Bible from any counterfeit at any time can and will be deceived. So the name of Jesus has power, and I think oftentimes that is what the allure is into these other religions, is they will still use, Satan will use that name in name only. Secondly, people are looking for logic. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, I mentioned earlier, people do look for truth. They do. They're looking for what seems logical. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, verse 18. It says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God." And as people look at the simplicity of the real gospel, it's not logical to them. It doesn't make sense in our limited human wisdom that God would give, really, his only begotten Son for us so that we could have eternal life for free. In our world, we talked about this last week as well, nothing is free. So Satan will attach a price that man has to pay to his Jesus. And that sounds logical to man, okay? What Satan hides is the fact, as we, again, we talked about this last week, the price for our sin was not free. But because we did not pay it ourselves, Jesus paid it, okay? It seems like foolishness to the world. It doesn't seem logical. Look at verse 21 in that same chapter. It says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe it." So people, they're looking for they're looking for logic, and it seems logical that the real Jesus would want you to earn your salvation. But that is not the truth. People also look for what they want to see. They will look for what they want to see, and that is exactly what a magician is wanting them to do. And when that happens, when he has successfully misdirected them, that's when the deception works. I once spoke to a man. He told me this. We were talking religion, and he said, "For years, I have looked for a religion that teaches what I believe to be true." And then he said, "I finally found it in this one," and he named it. Well, that is exactly why the devil designed it in the first place, all right? The religions of the world accommodate what man wants to be true so that he will be misdirected from what is true. So what is the truth? Well, for the rest of our time tonight, I'm just going to run through pretty much what we've looked at thus far and counter it with what God says. And first of all, the truth is the Bible claims Christ as God. All right. We talked about earlier that other Jesuses might be one of many gods or no God at all or just a good teacher or whatever. Well, I want you to know that the Bible proclaims Christ as God. And let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Old Testament book of Isaiah and chapter 9. And we're just going to look at a couple verses that talk about Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, and who he is. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. You probably got this one in a Christmas card this year.
Yes.
It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Of course, he's talking about the coming Messiah. "And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The Old Testament predicted that Messiah would, it's proclaiming Christ as God. Go to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and verse 23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean?
God with us.
Which is translated, it says, "God with us." All right, so the Bible proclaims the Christ, the Messiah, as God. The truth is, the Jesus of the Bible even claimed to be God. If you're in Matthew, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Let's look at verses 7 through 9. John chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. This is Jesus speaking. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? So Jesus claimed to be God. In fact, in John 8:58, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus called himself by the most holy name of God of all. I am. I am. In fact, those that he spoke in front of wanted to kill him because they understood for sure he is calling himself God. In John 5:18, he claimed there to be equal with God. So the truth is, the Bible proclaims Christ as God. The truth is, the Jesus of the Bible claimed to be God. The truth is, thirdly, the Jesus of the Bible proved to be God. He did miracles. Miracles that could only come from God. Healing, feeding, walking on water, raising people from the dead, raising himself from the dead. So therefore, he is not an angel, okay? The Jesus of the Bible proved to be God. In fact, I want to take you to a really powerful scripture that not only talks about him not being an angel, but there's an additional really neat teaching there. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you the first 8 verses. Okay? And I want you to listen, first of all, what it says about him and the angels, okay? But then there's an added neat thing you'll see, all right? So, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he, God, ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. And the angel, and of the angels he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son he says, and remember, we're talking about God the Father. This is God the Father saying this in verse 8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So not only are we told here that Jesus is greater than the angels, but we are also told here that God the Father is calling the Son God. Therefore, as well, he's not just a man. The Jesus of the Bible proved to be God. Number four. The truth is, the Jesus of the Bible is not one of many gods. Isaiah 43:11 says, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Titus 2:13 tells us to look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the truth is, Jesus of the Bible is not one of many gods. He is the God. Number five, the truth is, the Jesus of the Bible is not just a good teacher. He's not just a good teacher. And I'm going to appeal to our logic for a moment. If Jesus is not God, that has to mean then he is not a good teacher. Okay? Because he taught. He taught that he is God. So the Jesus of the Bible cannot be just a good teacher. And the truth is, the Bible has not been changed. That was one of the arguments that was brought up as we went through this other Jesus. There are other gospel accounts out there. The Bible is inaccurate. You can't believe it. It's been changed. There's more to the story. Well, the Bible hasn't been changed. And I'll just tell you, there are a lot of proofs that we could go through to show its accuracy. All right. In fact, if you're interested, there is a series of lessons on our website under the Bible studies category, and we spent eight weeks looking at proofs of the authenticity of the Bible. And if that's something that would interest you, you can go there and listen. But for tonight, I'm just going to give you one proof, okay? God promised he would preserve his word. God promised he would preserve this. It hasn't been changed. It hasn't been, it's accurate. It's complete as we have it. He promised he would preserve his word. In fact, he promised for all generations. Listen to a couple more passages here. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever." 1 Peter 1:25 says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever." Peter continues. He says, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." So the gospel, the story of Jesus in our Bible, God promised he would preserve it. It will endure forever. Our Bible today is the gospel that God promised to preserve. Number seven, the truth is the gospel is complete. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, it's a small book right after 1 and 2 Corinthians, so it's probably real close to your marker that you're keeping in 2 Corinthians there. But Galatians chapter 1, and look at verses 6 through 8. Paul says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ." And he goes on in verse 8, he says this, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed." The gospel of the Bible is the complete gospel. It's complete. Number eight, the truth is salvation is not universal. Again, we're going to spend a little bit more time with that next week. I'll just read you two passages that are probably very familiar to you and tell you that while Jesus did die for the sins of the world, he did pay in full for every single one of them. Salvation from them is received only as one places his faith in Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. In fact, in John 3:16 through 18, It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." In John 3:36, it says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life." So salvation, it is not universal. One must place the full weight of his trust in Christ alone to receive it. Number nine, the truth is salvation cannot be earned. If you're still in Galatians, go to chapter 2, verse 16. Here Paul says, "Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." The truth is, salvation cannot be earned. Number 10, the truth is, salvation is assured by God's word. Not by a feeling, not by an emotion, not by experience, but by the truth. We know truth because God says it's true. And God says salvation is assured. In 1 John 5:12 and 13, it says, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Salvation is assured by God's word. Number 11, the truth is salvation is simple. It is simple. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 one last time here. Verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." The gospel of Christ is simple. It is sincere. It is pure. God offers salvation as a gift through the Jesus of the Bible. And the truth is, only the Jesus of the Bible saves. Paul feared for people in that. In fact, verse 4, he goes on, he says, "If he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." And he's basically telling them, don't, okay? You're going down a path where you might. You're starting to buy into some of these things, but don't. Because only the Jesus of the Bible saves. And then lastly tonight, the truth is, the misdirected must be redirected. Any Jesus that is described in any other way than what we read in God's Word, that's how we can tell. We match what other people are saying about the Jesus they're teaching and compare it to what God says about this Jesus. Any Jesus that is described in any other way than what we read in God's Word here is another Jesus, a counterfeit Jesus, and no Savior at all. It's a classic case of misdirection from the devil to keep people from the truth. And you and I, we've been commissioned to redirect the misdirected to the truth. Because God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Mark 16:15 says, "Therefore go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." But any thoughts on what we've looked at tonight? There are a lot of other Jesuses out there, and we need to be aware of that. But any thoughts on that? Questions? Craig.
I would just say
Praise God. Thank you. All right. All right. We might be done early tonight. That'll be a first.
We're not used to having the time.
Yeah. you aren't. I did try to make this one a little short. But any other thoughts? All right, Christy. Because he's going to be a counterfeit Christ.
Right.
He's going to supposedly raise from a mortal wound. There's going to be a counterfeit Trinity. And it was just something that I thought about. I hadn't even thought about it until going through this and understanding the power of that name. Again, it complete speculation, but sure wouldn't surprise me. Salvation's just the beginning, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been studying, and the Gospels actually belong in the Old Testament because they're still under the law.
Most of the Gospels,
that's another way to look at it.
For sure, he's actually talking to the Jewish people.
He came under the law, and he was always talking to the Pharisees, and you know, and he did set an example, but that example isn't why he came.
Right.
He came to prove. So many times you just hear, you've got to be like Jesus.
Right, right. Yep. Good point.
The Antichrist himself says he is the Messiah.
What's that?
The Antichrist, when he takes over.
Yeah, he's going to be a false savior, yes.
To say that he's the Messiah.
Okay.
You've been looking for a Messiah, I am it.
Okay. Oh, for sure, yeah, yeah. There's...
That's not uncommon.
For sure, there are a lot of them, yeah.
Jesus said there will be many that come in my name, but yeah. Don't go
yep.
there.
Yep, yep,
yep. But we'll all be gone in the rapture before that happens.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon.
Do you watch Al Lindsay?
I don't have television. Well, I have a television. We don't have it piped into the house, though. So, right, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Enough about my personal life. Let's close in prayer, should we? Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the education that you give us, even in telling us specifically in the second letter to the Corinthians that there will be teachers out there put forth by the devil himself teaching another Jesus. And Lord, in that, because that name carries such clout, carries such power, Father, I pray that we would truly be on our toes in this, Lord, that we would be aware, that we would know your word so well that when we hear of a Jesus over here and a Jesus over here, Lord, that we would quickly be able to discern by what is taught about him or what he is even teaching, whether this is true or not. Father, I thank you as well just for the commission that you have given us to redirect the misdirected. Father, I pray that we wouldn't avoid those who have bought into the lie of a counterfeit Jesus, but Lord, that we might even seek them out and desire to tell them about the real one. Again, thank you for tonight and just the things that we can gain from it. Pray, Lord, that you would just move in our hearts concerning what we have learned and may it all be to your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I'm concerned.
about one thing. You don't